My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Let's bow there for prayer. Father, we pray now that you would help us this evening to preach and to teach, and I pray that the message would be properly received, properly understood. We pray that it would glorify thee and declare the truth of thy word. Admonish thy children to live in holiness and in righteousness. I pray, Father, that the message would be a help to the men and women in this place this evening to avoid the snare of this social sin that's wreaking havoc in our nation. We'll be careful to give thee the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a message tonight on kind of a controversial subject. It's not controversial in the same way that some of the others are. It doesn't stir up exactly the same emotions that abortion does and homosexuality. Yet, the Christian church has become far too tolerant of this sin. And they've worn away our resistance over the years so that now Christians accept things as right and acceptable that years ago would have just absolutely not been tolerated. The sin hasn't changed. The church has changed. And we allow things and accept things that never have been allowed or accepted before. Now, the passage we read there in Proverbs chapter 5 is an admonition. It's a warning to young men to stay away from loose women. That's good, sound advice. It's an admonition to chastity and to monogamy. If you go on in chapter 5, you get down to verse 19 thereabouts, it said, for a man to love the wife of his youth and all that, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And drink out of thine own well, and get waters out of thine own cistern and not another. It means that you're supposed to stay chaste and pure until you marry, boys and girls.
Amen.
There's as much emphasis on purity and virginity of the male as there is the female in the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible does not practice the same double standard that mankind does.
Amen.
And so there's an admonition there to stay morally and sexually pure and clean, and then after marriage to stay faithful and monogamous with your mate. And, of course, when we marry people in our wedding vows, I generally use what's called an Old English wedding ceremony. And there's some old words in it, but it's really good. But there's a passage in the wedding ceremony that says, you talk to the groom and to the bride, and you ask each one of them, do you promise to keep thyself to her or to him alone? See? You promise married fidelity. If I marry you, promise that anyway. You may write your own and do anything you want to. But if you ask me to marry you, I'm going to use a wedding vow that where you promised to remain faithful to the person you just married until death do you part. And so marriage is for sex, and sex is for marriage. The Bible said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed thereof undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. And so sex is not a dirty word. The subject of sex is not a dirty subject. It's not something that has to be whispered in slang terms in a bathroom between naughty little boys. Sex is a legitimate subject for discussion as long as it's done properly with the right kind of language and the right kind of atmosphere for the right reason. It's part of our living. It's part of our being. It's part of our existence. And it's an important part. And God honors it. God made it. God made them male and female. God understands the anatomy of the male, the anatomy of the female. He understands the psychology of the male and the female. God understands the sexual attraction between the sexes. God doesn't understand queers. God doesn't understand lesbians. God didn't make any of them. See? God made them boy and girl, male and female, and he said for the wife to cleave to her husband. He never said for Jack to cleave to John. I'm just not in there. See? It's just not there. God don't understand that. But God understands the physical attraction and the physical relationship. And it's honored and it's sanctified by marriage. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed thereof. Now, any sex outside of marriage is illicit sex. It's ungodly sex. It's not permitted or tolerated or condoned by the Bible. Amen? Now, so the subject we're talking about, which is pornography, which is sex, is a defiling and a twisting and a subverting of a thing that God has created and made holy and good. Sex is the most personal, most intimate relationship that a man and a woman can share. It ought to be the consummation. It's the absolute expression of love and trust and fidelity between two loving people who are in the bond of matrimony. And in that context, it's the greatest thing in the world. Anything other than that is dirty, twisted, unscriptural, unhealthy, unholy. Now, you live in a society that has taken that which God made and made proper and defiled it and made it dirty and wicked and lascivious and sex in our society, we seem to be obsessed with it. Everywhere you go, everything you see, everything you buy is sold with a sexual overtone or a sexual innuendo. Advertising on the boob tube has to be done by beautiful women. I don't care if a man's talking, they got to have a pretty girl walk by. You get your JCPenney catalog anymore. You can't get Sears anymore. They quit. Which is good, because they've got a section on pornography in the Sears catalog for the last 10 years. If you look in the Ladies Foundation section of the catalog, you're embarrassed to look at the models who model the skimpy attire. Listen, harlots didn't used to dress that way. And you go down to Walmart, Kmart, all them marts down there, and walk through, and I tell you what, a man has got to turn his head. Because they've got life-size models with perfectly correct anatomy displaying some of the skimpiest attire I've ever seen. It's embarrassing. And we don't think anything about it anymore. We've become so numbed and so desensitized through the media, through magazines, television, and advertisements, those kind of things. We don't hardly think anything about it. But hundreds of times during a week, you see things that only ought to be seen in the privacy of a bedroom between a husband and a wife. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's good preaching whether you like it or not. I know good preaching when I hear it. Now, so I want to talk to you about an industry that has arisen in our society that's taken a holy thing and made it unholy. And you say, well, why are you going to do that, preacher? Because it corrupts and perverts and distorts in the minds of young people what's right and good. It makes them become promiscuous. It leads to multiple sex partners, which destroys the ability to genuinely cherish and adore one person. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not. But the more partners a person has, the less likely they are to be all consumed with one. That's just one of a number of reasons that God wants to practice monogamy. There are a score of others, not to mention the spread of disease. Amen. One of the things that's rampant in the sodomite community is infections and parasites in the intestine because of multiple sex partners. I mean, there is a national epidemic Now, you don't hear much about it because, one, it's kind of a grotesque subject, and two, that because of the power and the influence of the sodomite lobby, they keep a lid on it. I know a doctor in Norfolk, Virginia, who quit the medical profession because he was sick and tired of dealing with men with what they call the gay bowel syndrome. It's parasites and infections caused by loose living. That's the society we're in. We're wicked. We have a concept that's distorted about what's right and good. Now, with that distortion has arisen a business within our society that preys on the depravity of man and is basically and fundamentally wicked nature. And that's the pornography industry. They've taken something that was good, sex, and distorted it, and then they have profited from it. And so there has been a proliferation of this abuse to the tune of, listen, in 1994, Americans, not the rest of the world, Americans spent $16 billion on pornography. I didn't say $16 million. I didn't say $160 million. I said $16 billion in this one country was spent in 1 year by perverts. You say, well, preacher, what are you classifying porno? Now, I'm going to classify a lot of things as porno that the rest of the world won't classify as porno. See, I believe if you go down here to the pantry or to whatever the local convenience store is, and you see the little rack back there behind the counter, or if you go down to almost any other little store, they got this little rack where the magazines fit down so you can't see the covers because they're sexually explicit. That's porno. You say, what are those magazines? Those magazines are Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, Cherry, We, Forum, and all the rest of that stuff. They're just as wicked and hellish and ungodly as anything could possibly be. I don't think you got to go to the peep shows and the adult bookstores to buy pornography. I think you can go down to the local convenience store and buy pornography for $2 a copy. Amen. Pornography is a national disgrace. It is a social disease that is eating away at the youth and the strength of our nation. It will not only destroy individual lives, it will destroy our nation, and it will bring the judgment of God if it's not brought in check, and if we don't judge it, God will. Amen? So let me give you some things about pornography tonight, and I realize I'm talking to Christians, and you say, well, preacher, we don't practice that, bro, but I bet you've allowed some things to in your life and in your thought patterns that ought not to be there. And you may not be as informed about what's going on as you ought to be. And if you've got young children, boys and girls, you certainly need to be on guard to prevent them ever becoming involved with or hooked on pornographic material. It's addictive. The devil uses it to mess up minds and to get boys and girls to think about things that are unholy and unhealthy. Let me give you some statistics. Let me show you how well the devil has succeeded. Pornography is a $16 billion per year business in the United States. There are 15,000 porno shops in America. They're legal, by the way. They're not illegal. 15,000. That is five times as many porno shops as there are McDonald's restaurants. 3,000 McDonald's, 15,000 porno shops. That's not counting the convenience stores and the 7-Elevens and that kind of stuff. There are over 1 million homes in America which subscribe to an exclusive television cable system that handles only X-rated movies. Not R-rated, X-rated. I can't imagine what might be in some of those X-rated movies. Some of the PGs and PG-13s are embarrassing. The R's are unwatchable. I can't imagine what people are getting in X-rated film. You say, well, they watch that stuff. Oh, at home. The VCR has been the greatest invention in the world for the pornography industry. Because now you don't have to sneak around and watch a little black and white 8 millimeter movie in the back of a room someplace and worry about the cops busting in. Now you can rent them well-made, in color, with good soundtrack, and play it in the living room. Presently, there are over 400 pornographic magazines published in the United States. 400 different porno magazines. Listen, folks, we are talking about big business. We're talking about something that's up there that is in league with the dope industry for magnitude. 50% of those 400 magazines feature what is known in the trade as kiddie porno. That is, magazines that feature children having sex and in sex scenes. Now, there's federal laws against that. It's against the law to possess child pornography. Yet, there's a multi-billion dollar a year industry that manages to print it and to sell it and to distribute it. And you almost never hear of anybody being busted for it or arrested for it or going to jail for it. You see, when you've got a $16 billion a year industry, you can pay off a lot of people. You can buy a lot of influence for $16 billion. You can also corrupt a lot of minds. Hustler magazine had a feature article on bestiality. Now, Hustler magazine is not considered pornography by the industry. It's light reading. You can buy it at the convenience store. It's legal to sell it to anybody 18 years old or older. In the article on bestiality, they portrayed sex with animals as the ultimate sexual experience. That's about the most disgusting thing I ever read in my life. So where'd that come from? The United States of America, in a Christian nation, down here in the Bible Belt, where people got a King James Bible and profess to be saved and love God, and they read that stuff and watch that stuff and allow that stuff, and they don't get upset about it, and they're not raising hell about it, and we're not mad about it, and we allow it in our society, and it's corrupting and damning our young people. Young girls these days have a hard time finding a role model. Seems like everybody in the movies and on TV is a slut. They have no morals, have no convictions. Chastity and purity are alien words, archaic, shouldn't be found in the dictionary, according to Hollywood. The fellow who owns Fox Television, what's his name? Ted Turner, pervert. Ted Turner said, I've had a few beers and I've had a few girls. If that sends me to hell, so be it. Ted Turner said, I don't need some Jew dying on a cross for me. And Fox Television is one of the worst television networks in America to show filth. There's almost nothing on Fox Network that you can watch. Garbage. Our girls don't have role models. They don't see well-dressed, modestly dressed, chaste women in the media as examples. Thank God for some in churches that still live right. One of the things that has brought on this age of pornography is the undressing of womanhood. Now, some of y'all are not going to like me tonight. But it's a shame the way women dress. I'm talking about good women that love a husband and want to do right. They've been so brainwashed over a long period of time that they honestly don't see anything wrong with the way they disrobe or the way they robe their bodies anymore. And they dress in ways that their mama and their grandmama would have died, that had a heart attack before they'd have been seen dressed the way Christian women dress these days. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1 and 2, they shall no more be called tender and delicate. Why? They have made They have uncovered the leg. They have made bare the thigh. You see, there's something happens in our society when women begin to disrobe. Now, it has a lot to do with the male psyche. The male creature is not at all like the female creature. Some of y'all have probably not figured that out yet. But if you've been married long, you found it out, I'll tell you that. Women don't think like men. Fellas, there's more to it. It's not that they don't just look like us. They don't think like us. And they don't have the same emotional reaction to the same stimuli that you do. Now, there's this thing about boys, girls. They're lookers. They like to look. Boys like to look at girls more than anything else. So that ain't right. We're not talking about what's right. We're talking about how they are. We're trying to be real. Boys like to look at girls. Now, God made us that way. But girls have got to be very careful about what they give boys to look at. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 47, it said they're not going to be called tender and delicate. That is, the girls won't be called tender and delicate anymore. Why? Because they're driving dump trucks? No. Because they're mixing concrete? No. Why? Because they've made bare their leg and they have uncovered the thigh. Now listen, two things there, the leg and the thigh. Your leg, your leg, goes to him. This is a, inside this boot is an ankle bone right here. See? My leg goes right here to the ankle bone up to here. Got it? And so it says they've uncovered the leg and they've made bare the thigh. The thigh bone goes from the knee to the hip. The thigh bone is the longest bone in your body. It goes from right up here, where it ties onto your spine, to right there in the middle of that knee. And he said they'll not be called tender and delicate because they've uncovered the leg, that's this portion here, and made bare the thigh, this portion here. So if I understand that right, you ladies are supposed to have your legs covered. Amen. Don't like it. I'm not preaching it because you like it. I ain't even preaching it because I like it. I'm preaching it because it's so. Amen. And then Christian ladies think it's all right for running around in shorts. You're nuts. I mean, you are off your ever-loving rocker, sweetie. It ain't right. Why? You may bare the leg. Boys like to look at legs. Do you know what boys are interested in? They say, man, has she got a great set of legs. Why? There's a company in your nation that's made $1 zillion off of them great set of legs. Legs pantyhose. Comes in little plastic Easter eggs. Listen, the advertisers know how to make a buck. They know what men... And so they get some long, leggy thing to put on their product and strut it around there with a nice shape and a pair of high heels because they know every man in town is going to look. It's the nature of the beast. You say, well, if he was a godly man, he wouldn't. There's enough devil in all of us. Amen. That's the reason it behooves the ladies to be careful how they dress. We believe you ought to keep your legs covered. You ladies ought to wear a dress that comes to the middle of your calf. And then when you sit down on the church pew, you won't be going like this. Oh, what a pitiful sight. Listen, sweetie, if you had about 6 inches more material, you quit all that nonsense. Amen. Made bare the thigh. Christian women wearing shorts. Christian women wearing bathing suits in public. Now listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with you going swimming. I got a swimming pool. My wife goes swimming every day. I bought her a swimming pool. I put a fence around it. I put a lock on the gate. Amen. She can go inside, lock it from the inside, swim all she wants to. I mean, if the reason you're going is because you love to swim, what do you care? I know where it was. You wanted to go down to the public pool and strut your stuff and let everybody look at you swim. It wasn't swimming you was interested in. It was being admired. I know, I got it. You sorry devil. You want to go down there and let some slob slobber. Somebody say amen.
Don't like that kind of preaching.
Well, there's a church right down here that won't do it. You... Let me give you the result of a sex survey conducted by E.J. Daniels, who is a pastor of a large church up north. Dr. E.J. Daniels is on up in years now. He's been doing this for years and years. And he conducted a survey. These are Christian children. At least they profess to be Christian. This is not the world. This is a survey of church-attending Christian children, young men and women. 70% of the boys and 88% of the girls in this survey profess to be Christians. Got that? 70% of the boys say they're saved. 88% of the girls said they were saved. Here's what the survey said. The survey revealed that 52% of the boys and 37% of the girls had had sexual intercourse by the age 18. Now, I'd expect that at a local high school. You might expect that out of unsaved, unregenerate people. But we're talking about 52% of the boys and 37% of the girls who are saved, who attend church on a regular basis, who come from Christian homes, have had sex before they're 18 and certainly before they're married. 72% of the boys and 44% of the girls said that when they had sex, they used no contraceptives. There's a section in this survey that asks the boys what causes them to lust after girls and to seek to have sex with them. You know what they said? All kind of things cause them to seek to have sex. For example, 90%, the president got elected with 43. See what a mistake you can make? 90% of the boys said modest kissing, that is on the cheeks and the lips, briefly, caused them to desire sex with the girl. French kissing, that's with mouth open, tongues touching, caused 96% to have the desire to have sex with the girls they kissed. Moms and dads let boys and girls smooch all the time these days. They don't think anything about it. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, if you ain't married to that girl, you keep your hands off of her and you keep your lips to yourself. Amen. You ain't supposed to touch her till you marry her. Amen. Amen. Girl, if that boy puts his hand on you, break his arm. I think every girl ought to keep a 5-gallon can of gasoline in her purse, $100 bills in cash money, and a small ball peen hammer or a high-heeled shoe. Amen. And if he gets Russian hands and Roman fingers, nail that sucker. Amen, amen, and amen. Percent of the boys said that dancing caused them to lust after girls. Well, who could imagine a thing like that? Now, I know Christians don't think anything wrong with dancing. For 2,000 years, the church was opposed to dancing. But now it's all right to get belly to belly. Now, I'm an old man now, but I was a teenager once. You can't fool me. They say between the ages of 14 and 25, the desire for young men to have sex is 10 times stronger than the desire to eat. 10 times stronger. And then moms and dads will allow them boys and girls to go to a prom or a dance and get this close to each other and then drive home after stopping for a hamburger in an automobile, just him and her. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Well, you all to a rocker. I'm not getting any amens. Well, that's all right. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Dancing is bad business. Now you say, well, preacher, the way they dance these days ain't no big deal. Now you're crazy. You get that girl out there in a little old pair of tight britches or some of them bullfighting shorts they wear, or them tight skirts, and get it out there boogalooing and dancing to that music and swinging them hips and rocking and rolling. You kidding me? They find it extremely stimulating. And then the slow dancing. So you can get real close and smell that oil line on Alabama Street, you know. Obsession perfume. Giorgio. Estee Lauder. Feel how warm and soft. And they're not aroused. Why, you're nuts. You're crazy. Christians that think dancing's all right have their brains on vacation. You send them to Disneyland because you don't live in the real world. 75% of the boys said seeing girls in shorts. 90%, if the shorts are very short, caused them to lust. Well, who wouldn't have known that? Boys, y'all remember how girls are made? They're not made like you. I don't know how to describe a man. Ain't much to us. But girls. Girls. I'll tell you what, Lord outdone himself when he built them. I mean, he fixed them just right. I mean, they roll and curve. God fixed it so that you like to look at them. See, there's this thing. We have to have this attraction so that we'll take wives and reproduce the species and all that kind of stuff. So there has to be this mutual attraction. The problem is, them girls accentuate the attraction. You put on them real tight shorts and go strutting your little self around, and you cause all kind of problems. I said, well, I don't know what he's so upset about. He's upset because he's been looking at you. I don't know what made him say or act like that. Well, I was so-and-so that night, and you just wouldn't believe what... I'm not condoning it, but I sure understand it. Amen. Why? Because men are aroused through the eyeball, through what they see. It's a sensory thing. So you make sure what they see is a godly woman, a Christian lady, modestly attired. If the fellow likes you, let him be attracted to you for your pleasing personality, your sweet smile, your gracious spirit. Amen, amen, and amen, Brother Hensley. Good preaching. 94% of the boys said that seeing girls with low-cut dresses. Now notice, every reverence I give you, it says seeing, 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 seeing. Boys aren't like girls. Let me ask you this. Y'all ever hear of a peeping Tom? You know what that is? That's a voyeur. That's a pervert that sneaks around and peeps through keyholes to see girls without their clothes. Or sneaks around in the neighborhood and peeks through windows to see the girls getting undressed. He's sick. I mean, we're talking about a sick puppy. How many of y'all ever heard of a peeping Susie? Nothing personal. That's a male thing.
Amen.
When's the last time you heard about some woman being arrested for sneaking around peeping in windows at men? Why, it's laughable, isn't it? Why? It's a male thing. Women don't have the same eye problem that men have. And then women run around here in short shorts and bikinis. It just boggles my mind at the contradiction to say, I'm saved by God's grace and I love the Lord and I want to be a godly person. And then I'm going down to the beach and take all my clothes off and run around in a bathing suit smaller than my underwear. What happened to your brain? Somebody smoke it? I mean... of the boys interviewed confessed that seeing girls in modern swimsuits caused them to lust after the girl. Now listen, 100%. 100% of the boys interviewed said seeing girls in bikinis caused them to have strong sexual desire. So, well, preacher, things are different nowadays, and it's not like it was in Bible times, and it's not like it was in Grandma's day. This is the enlightened generation. No, you're a fool. Sin hasn't changed its nature. The lust of the wicked heart of man hasn't changed in 6,000 years. You've just been sold a bill of goods by a bunch of high-pressure salesmen who want to make money selling you a bunch of stuff that will destroy you and your children. You bought hook, line, and sinker the propaganda put out by the advertising industry to sell apparel. You've been hooked and hoodwinked by a mass media gone berserk that portrays loose living and indecency and immodesty as right and good and proper and desirable, when it's damnable. So who bought that line? The church, professing Christians, folks that in a lot of areas got real good sense, but they lost their mind when it comes to something. Now, you know what really bothers me is I know all kind of Christian moms and dads that have good standards themselves, that dress right, believe right, and they're against sin and wickedness. And them same folks will allow their children to do things that they would never dream of doing themselves. Listen, Mom, Dad, if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for them. God didn't have a different set of rules. God doesn't have different requirements for this generation than He did for your generation. Did He? You know what I think it is? I think moms and dads lack the courage to stand up and do what they know is right. And they allow children to do things they know are wrong, and mom and dad just kind of turn their head and pretend it ain't as bad as it is, or pretend they don't know about it, or, and they know. And it's as bad as it ever was. But it's easier than having a confrontation. It's easier than having to stand up for what's right and take a chance on, in a confrontation, the kids rebelling and moving out or whatever. Now, you're going to answer for it one of these days. And you're going to find that the judgment seat of Christ, it would have been better to have stood your ground and stood for right than it would have been to have given place and lost them anyway. Amen. Now, all this thing about this pornography industry, you know, the wicked things they portray and all that, it started with getting American women to undress and making men obsessed with looking at them. They put them everywhere. Suntan lotion advertisements have to portray women in skimpy attire. People who sell foundation garments for ladies have to do it with well-endowed ladies, and they put up life-size, full-color pictures. It's not necessary. Amen. Ladies are going to buy them foundation garments anyway. Yeah. If you didn't advertise them at all, they'd buy them. I'll be absolutely honest with you, folks. There's no such thing as a modest bathing suit in public. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's any such thing as a set of modest shorts in public. Amen. Amen. You want to take your clothes off and run around in a bikini or wear short shorts? Go home. Put all the windows down. Close all the blinds. Get as naked as a jaybird and help yourself. Don't skinny dipping in your own private pool. Privacy fence around it. Help yourself. Or entice your husband? Go ahead. But not on the streets, not on the sidewalks, not at the beach, not at the mall, not no place. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 warns men not to look on a woman to lust after her. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 said, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the flesh. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. 2 Timothy 3:22, flee youthful lust. The pornography industry has induced men to lust and to wickedness and to crave forbidden things by getting a whole generation of women to dress immodestly. That's how pornography gets its foothold. Then, once it does that, it takes charge of a person's life and leads them to do all kind of things. In that survey, it said only 52% of the girls interviewed planned to remain virgins until they were married, which means 48% had already decided they wasn't waiting. That's almost half. How in the world have we failed a generation of young people that we have not instilled into their hearts and minds what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and what's immoral? I'll tell you how we did it. We quit preaching plain. We got soft in our approach and afraid in our pulpits. Afraid we'll offend somebody. Somebody will get their feelings hurt. Somebody won't come back. They'll take their tithes and leave. And preachers quit preaching. And so all you get in most pulpits anymore is God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And God does love you. But God hates sin.
Amen.
And God authorized and commanded and commissioned the preacher to declare the whole counsel of God. So if a hair lips every cow in Texas and turns your stomach, we're going to preach the whole book. And you can like it, lump it, hump it, thump it, dump it, or jump it. And we don't give a rip one way or the other. We will go home to glory saying, Lord, we did the best we could to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And they got mad and they didn't come back, so I just preached and hollered and screamed at my wife. Just remember, if you quit because of the preaching, just what you're going to subject her to. Just remember that. There's a downward path to pornography. First, there's addiction. A person gets hooked on what he looks at. It's like a drug addict. Drug addict takes dope the first time and he ain't hooked on it. And he takes it the second time and he's not hooked on it. And so he thinks he can handle it. He's got it under control. And after a while, he's not aware of it, but he's not in control anymore. And he doesn't realize he's not in control until he tries to quit. The Chinese have a proverb about drinking, strong drink. They say, man take drink, drink take drink, drink take man. And young folks start out messing with Playboy and stuff. They think they can handle it. They're just looking at beautiful women. By the way, in those magazines, outside of those dirty pictures, there are articles and stories that have the most corrupt philosophy known to man. There's more danger in Playboy and those magazines than just the dirty pictures. If we are what we put in our head, they read those stories that make immorality and ungodliness and wickedness right and acceptable. There's a double danger in those magazines. It would be bad if there were nothing in those magazines but pictures. But they are twice the poison because there's not only glamorous pictures that make beautiful people who are wicked look good. There are articles who make sin look desirable. Pornography takes control. Bundy and all those fellas, he was a pervert. He had an extensive collection of pornography. And almost all those serial killers, where they found out that the fellow's a homosexual, it's been a process of time. Ever since his youth, he got to looking at bad movies, bad magazines, and it grew, and it grew. It's like any other sin. No sin ever stays the same.
Amen.
It always gets worse. People are not static beings. We're progressive creatures. You either get better and better with time, or you get worse and worse with time. And the sin that you allow in your life will not stay on the same level. I guarantee that it will grow. It will get worse and worse and worse. And you feed your mind through the eye gate with pornography, with bad stories and bad pictures, sooner or later, it'll be as normal and natural as breathing. And when you say, well, I'll just quit, then you find out how much you miss it and what a part of your life it is and how you crave it. Not only is there the addiction to pornography, there's the escalation. It gets worse and worse. You see, what was a thrill today, if you do it 10 times, won't be a thrill tomorrow. Understand that? In the Navy, I used to fly test tops in A4. And we would go out, and we'd put a new engine in it or whatever it was, and we'd go fly the airplane and make sure everything ran okay. And it was a thrill just to be in this jet airplane doing 500 miles an hour, 15,000 feet. I thought it was great, boy. It was just fantastic. But after we did that three or four times, it got to be old hat. It was like driving a car. And so we'd go out and do a test hop, and we'd have 45 minutes of fuel left. And you know what we'd do? We'd go out to the range and do some air combat maneuvering. Loops and rolls and just to have a good time. And boy, it was a lot of fun. But after a while, I mean, how many times can you do a loop in an airplane and get a thrill out of it? You know, and wing overs and barrel rolls and vertical stalls and tail slap. And after a while, it was just, you know, no big deal. So you know what we'd do then? We would wait till another airplane came by. And we'd jump on it. And he'd try to get away. Man, boy, that was... Now, this is really fun. I'm telling you right. This is the ultimate. And the object was to sneak up on this guy and get close enough on his tail that when you pulled up, the buffer, the air between the two airplanes, he would know you were back there. I mean, you could reach out and touch his tailpipe. We'd get right up under him and pull up on him, and it would push his tail up, and he'd bounce, and he'd know he was dead. Cold meat. So what's the point? The point was, when I first started, it was just a thrill to fly. Then it was a thrill to do aerobatics. But then I wanted to kill that guy. Sin's like that. And pornography is like that. A fella takes a girl out. He wants to hold her hand. Then he wants to kiss her. Then he wants to put his hand on her leg. And then it's progressive. Somebody say amen, preacher. It starts with an addiction to seeing, and then it escalates to where we need it. We're hooked on it. Then you become desensitized. It's not enough anymore. You've got to keep going on to bigger and to better things. And finally, after the desensitization where there's no thrill left by looking, there's no thrill left to hearing, there's no thrill left to reading, the only thing left is participation. You see, what started out as a passive sin involving one person will escalate until it involves somebody else. Doesn't happen in a week. Doesn't happen in a month. Might not happen in a year or 3 or 4 years. But you get hooked on it. And you get started. And you start that long, slow descent into the pit. And there will come the time when nothing will satisfy but to participate, to have a partner. And that's where sex crimes come from. But by then, you've got a man with a mind that is warped beyond imagination, that is filled with filth and garbage that would make a maggot throw up on a gut wagon. Amen. It's a downward, downward, downward thing. There's nothing good about pornography. There's not one redeeming social grace or value to it, but it has ruined thousands upon thousands of homes. It has warped the minds of thousands and thousands of young men, and it has caused bunches and bunches of young girls to prostitute themselves, that is to dress immodestly, to show off themselves, to reveal themselves for the sake of being admired or for attention or because they haven't been taught any better or to make money. But it's an escalating thing. And our society is more and more tolerant of it. The TV, and I'm not on a crusade against television. I know they show golf on there too. I'm not against the medium of television. I mean, I might as well be against the medium of magazines. You understand? I mean, you can put dirty pictures in magazines. I'm not against the television set, but I am against a lot of what's on it. I see some of the advertisements, and they are absolutely shocking. Not to mention disgusting. And they're shown on prime time, 7 days a week. Now, I know the pornography industry would disagree with me, but I think you got porno on television. Some of the stuff that's seen on there in some of them sitcoms and stuff, that's the dirtiest, most hellish things I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how in the world a person who has got their mind on right and who loves God and who loves righteousness could sit and watch that stuff hour after hour. Don't tell me it doesn't affect you. The advertisers are not insane. They put on there what appeals to the natural brute beast. Pornography in our country is a $16 billion a year disgrace. It is ruining the lives of multiplied thousands of young people year after year after year after year. And the church, the Christian church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has become indulgent and tolerant of the vilest, most wicked of sins. And then we wonder why we don't have power. We wonder why folks don't get saved. We wonder why there's no joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, why the churches aren't full. Listen, there's not a way in the world that I can compete with the racy stuff that is on television on Sunday afternoon. I can't be as funny, I can't be as entertaining, and I sure can't be as sexy. It's what most folks can sit home and watch from 7 to 8:30. Pornography has a hold on our nation. It has a hold on our young people. You know one of the most disturbing things I've encountered in the last couple of years? You can talk to almost anybody 25 years old or younger. Now, there's some exceptions. But most of the young men, I work with young men all the time. And I don't know a single one that has a good, clear-cut concept of right and wrong. That's a terrible fault. They've got no concept of marriage and what's right in marriage and what's wrong outside of marriage. You live in the most shacked up generation that's ever existed on this planet. They date twice, then they sleep together. The next weekend, they move in. They're not embarrassed. They're not ashamed. Their face doesn't turn red. I go to houses all the time, and there'll be her name and his name on the mailbox. I get checks. I look at them. Girl's name, boy's name, two different last names. They're not married. They're just living together, sharing a house. So where's that at? Down here in the Bible Belt? Down here where all us fire-breathing, hell-fire and brimstone, corn-shucking, hell-raising, independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist preachers are? We've missed it someplace. And I'll tell you what we're going to pay. We're going to pay in the next generation of young folks. It's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. And America's headed to the jungle just as hard as she can go. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you now for your mercy and your grace. Realize we're not a pleasant subject tonight. Not a thing we rejoice in. Something we wish we never had to mention or discuss. I thank you for the attention of the people, and I pray that it would stick in somebody's heart. They might fight this disease that spreads through our land, this sore, this cancer. But most of all, Lord, I pray that you would help Christians get back to Christian principles and Christian concepts, Bible concepts of right and wrong, morality. Lord, I pray that young people and the parents of young people would have their hearts stirred, their eyes opened to the danger of this sin, and the way it takes hold, and the way it gets in the heart and in the mind, the way it corrupts, the damage that it can do. I pray, Father, you'd use it to help thy people, to bless thy children. In Jesus' name, amen.